Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Cerebral Resolution. I am your host, Robert, and I have no luck finding Dr. Pepper Cream Soda. It shouldn't be that much of a fucking mission, but it is, goddammit. And with me, I have...
If heaven exists, when I arrive at the pearly gates, I like to hear God say, have some canned coochie.
And...
What happened?
Wake up, Mark.
Who's my flat again?
I think you fell into a food coma from too many chicken parm sandwiches.
Oh, again?
I mean, look, I don't blame you. Chicken parm sandwiches are Italian God's gift to man. And by Italian God, I mean Giorno Giovanna. But still, you gotta pace yourself, man. Otherwise, you get hit with the itis like that.
Yeah, at least looking at my own house and not in somebody's backyard again with the sprinklers on and some dog licking me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, that reminds me. Why are you in my backyard? don't got an answer, do you? I thought as much.
Help, run.
Oh, no, you don't. But anyway, we'll come back to that particular plot line later. For now, we are at episode 166 of this nonsense. So, how have things been going with you guys lately?
Had a slow week, which is good, I guess. Even though I sprained my hand at work doing some heavy lifting, which is always terrible. Yeah. And, just between you and the rest of the world, me and the rest of the world, between the orange fuckface von Clown Shoes deciding to show up in my city for his usual, look at me and praise me bullshit, and the subsequent bullshit of Super Tuesday where everybody's been going insane for the last 17 months. Oh god, I'm so fucking tired of this shit. Can we just skip to the next year already? Let's just erase 2020 and start fresh. Come January 1st, because I'm done. But on the plus side, Buffalo Wild Wings is open down the street from my house. It's awesome. I'm going to see Devin Townsend on Thursday night, which is also awesome.
Nice. I wish there was a Buffalo Wild Wings that was located somewhere around me in a place other than a friggin' shopping mall.
That sends the breaks. At least for me, I don't have to go up to the freaking NASCAR Hall of Fame in Uptown, which is 15 miles away from my house.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Damn. That's just how it would be. They can't ever make this convenient for us. I just want wings, damn it. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
It's been sweet for me as well. It's... Actually, nothing eventful has happened, pretty much, because, still broke and still doing a lot of shit. Mm. Yeah, that's it.
Damn. Well, anyway, as for me, things could be going better. I received some news that I did not want to hear. Nothing super serious, but a tad bit demotivating for reasons. On the bright side, I saw that their new My Hero Academia movie that all the kids are on about, and it was pretty damn hype, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
The only flaw of the movie is that it needed way more hawks. How much more hawks? More hawks.
Yeah.
All the hawks. Everything's better with hawks.
Stay tuned for more on that. Also, Pox is just a gigantic billboard for season 5 of the show. It's gonna happen one way or another.
This is true. Besides that, I'm just really waiting for the weekend to get here because I'm going to be taking a weekend trip to Texas. A bunch of friends celebrating one of their birthdays. There will be all kinds of shenanigans. Also, I'm told there will be vibe checks. I don't know what that means, but I am deeply terrified.
If you see Ted Cruz, please punch him in the face.
Will do. I will also be sure to spray paint Zodiac Killer shit on his car.
Yeah, he knows what he did.
The best part is I'm gonna have disguises with me, so no one will know. I'm only half kidding about that, by the way. But anyway, this is not the place to incriminate myself on a podcast. Instead, we should probably move on to our usual business. And this is mainly a big old song buffet kind of week, because that's just what everything wanted to do. That's where all the hype news came from, and that's just, you know, how we roll. And so, of course, we got our new song discussions here. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and, you know, figure out which songs you like, which songs you dislike, and which songs you hate us for hating and hate us for liking. You know, because apparently people on the internet can't handle disagreements on music like grown-ups. Anyway, starting right off at the top with some good old-fashioned, long, droning-as-fuck sludge stoner rock. The band Elder is finally going to be following up their acclaimed album Reflections of a Floating World with their newest announced project, Omens, coming out April 24th. And, of course, we have the lead-off single, the 11-minute album opener, Embers. And, yep, this sounds about what you would expect from where Ember normally, you know, puts their music. Opens up with a decent driving energy with this really rough, gritty guitar work that kind of bounces between those dirty low-end riffs and that very elegant, melodic kind of arpeggio melody. Drums writing a nice groove as they kind of switch between, like, you know, the steady B and this kind of very jerky, syncopated set of, like, tom and snare fills. There's this really sweet groove, like, midway around, like, the 4-minute mark or so, kind of following some pretty beefy riffing where a lot of the melodies and vocals get to really work their shit. And, of course, a lot of really interesting synth work in there, especially as it leads into this kind of really interesting kind of alternating 4-4, 5-4 measures, you know, where the guitars get more distorted as they drone on this extended set of chords, this big soaring solo with lots of flanger in there. Yeah, this is very much my shit. I'm grooving with this, and as someone who really likes that last Elder album, I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, this is something more my style. Laid back and crunchy with a solid pumping groove to it, while keeping those usual prog elements I'm a sucker for. And yeah, that whole instrumental break, it's just a great bit of psychedelic prog rock to vibe out to. I'm going to keep this on my radar. I am interested.
And now to move on to the exact opposite of interesting. Lil Uzi Vert, I thought you retired or quit the game.
No one retires.
If I may interject, is this my fault? I mentioned a certain song a little while ago, and now I think that this is my fault for this being a thing.
So, Lil Uzi has released a new song. It has the suspicious title of That Way, which, when you hear it, might invoke memories of a certain classic 90s boy band jam. And unfortunately, the chorus decides to significantly interpolate I Want It That Way from the Backstreet Boys.
And it sucks so much.
Yes, yes. It, as the great Wayne once said, it certainly does suck. I'm just like, how dare you invoke the Backstreet Boys for this lousy bullshit? You should apologize. It's like, is this supposed to be a joke or something? Because if it is, it's not funny. And we have a metric for how to make I Want It That Way funny. It's that one scene from Brooklyn Nine-Nine that everyone loves to quote so much. That's how you do actual comedy. Not this half-ass, you know, trap R&B bullshit with weird lyrics like, I killed my girlfriend, that's why I'm single. Gee, you fucking think so. And of course, I can't call 911 because I'm in Reno.
Oh, really? Boy.
You're making that reference, too? And then, of course, the weirdest line in the song for me, she give me dome till I graduate. Like, you know, this is one of those things that kind of sounds like Pat Monahan lyrical logic. Like, okay, I understand, like, you know, common, you know, when you're getting oral sex, rappers say, give me head. But then they also switch that to, I'm getting brain, which is really creepy. And just this fucking, she give me dome? What is dome referring to here? It's just, I don't understand how this man's mind works. Why do we let Lil Uzi Vert become a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't fucking know this. Like, when I first heard a song, I was like, wait, what the fuck? Am I hearing, like, yeah, I heard the repeated, I want it that way, that to be that one reference. And yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's definitely a very bad interpolation. However, I have a pretty good antidote. How to actually implement a gag from Brooklyn Nine-Nine properly. 2, 3, 4. It didn't work.
But whatever. Let's move on to something else at this point. So, yeah, injury reserve. We got a couple one-off jams from them. I didn't list one of them here because I forgot because I'm dumb and bad and stupid. But I did list the other one, which is a short sort of bit called Waste Management. And it's got, yeah, it's about like a minute, 15 seconds. Just kind of this jerky, chopped up, like kind of dreamlike instrumental for the beat. The lyrics are, of course, you know, they are what you expect from Injury Reserve. Like I said, it's pretty short. You mostly just vibe to it. It's a decent jam.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Well, it is one of an interlude in a song, so like it's very short. Like the one where she says, "Yeah, they got my good shoes on. They want to try to fight me. I wish you had wish you would shoes on." Damn, I can't. Whoever did the editing is on genius. I think they forgot put shoes or just I wish you would shoes. Damn, I'm messing up. But of all the songs, say, well, Lucy's, they released this week, even though I think the other one might be more interesting, but, yeah, this was a decent track as well, it got a decent beat, which sounds something you hear Tyler Creator do, but that's just me, but yeah, it's all solid.
Now, time to move on to the next track here. So you hear a lot about, you know, artists that we like to discuss in this realm of the internet scoring movies and shit. You know, we had it with Colin Stetson scoring Hereditary and the upcoming Uzumaki anime adaptation. Of course, there's the 106 Point Never doing shit for the Softy Brothers. We even heard news that two of the guys from Bad Bad Not Good recently scored a horror movie that's apparently now in some level of release, although I didn't check to be sure if it was something that, say, I could watch, for example. And, of course, now the one subject we are discussing here, Mr. Blank Mass. Blank Mass is scoring a film called Calm with Horses, which is coming out March 13th. So next Friday, and we have two tracks of his that he's done for the score, one called The Devers and the other called Jack's Theme. The Devers starts off as this pretty straightforward kind of dreamlike piano melody with a lot of echoing, you know, production as it kind of drifts onward. It introduces this kind of fluttering, twinkling synth that slowly envelops the rest of the music, you know, kind of enveloping and then backing off to return to the piano track with more added layers of melody and droning swells and shit like that. And then, of course, there's Jack's Theme, which is more reliant on, you know, very crystalline synths coded in these very shimmering chord progressions that build and build as the track goes on, eventually backing off into a more lonely sort of buzz-heavy synth melody. It sounds like, okay, so it doesn't sound like, obviously, as intense as Blank Mass's solo work, but again, that's to be expected since this is, you know, functioning as soundtrack fodder. And for what it's worth, I'm at least curious to see what the movie is and how the soundtrack works with it.
Yeah, this would be good. This makes some decent film score fire. Like the way the devil started with this very dreamlike piano was like it actually sounds. That's how you might get enhanced more into it. Jack's Theme also works that way too. With theme reduction, but yeah, it's. This is pretty fascinating.
And now let's move on to the exact opposite of fascinating.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so we have to talk about the realm of CG animated kids films. You know, kind of like Ice Age. I only bring that up because the fucking hating that baby is like, you know, a meme. And who doesn't love some good old-fashioned memes? But, anyway, so, remember Trolls? Remember 4 years ago when we got a CG animated comedy about troll dolls from DreamWorks? I don't. I thought we all agreed to forget, but apparently the movie made money. You know, its production budget was $125 million and it made nearly $350 million, which I guess was enough for them to make a friggin' sequel that's coming out April 17th called Trolls World Tour, which may or may not have some kind of vague anti-Rock agenda for some reason. I don't know why. What did Rock ever do to you? That's certainly how the framing of the trailer suggests. I mean, unless they pull some fastball. And you know they're going to pull some corny bullshit. Like, we can all get along. You know, pop and rap and metal. Maybe we're all the same on the inside. Which, you know, that might sound great until you realize this is basically just cynical marketing to, you know, get the kids to beg their parents to buy action figures and feed money into the pockets of some fat, white, fucking business executive. Anyway, so, yeah, we have a song from the soundtrack here, The Other Side, which features SZA, yay, and the man of the woods himself, Justin Timberlake.
Okay. Yeah,
Boy, and, here's a fun fact. You know how, the last record for this movie, that was produced by Max Martin, which I think is, what's that crappy song? The Can't Stop the Feel. Yeah, Can't Stop the Feel. That song. Yeah, this time he not only got him, he got Zed Collaborator, Sarah Aarons, and of course Ludwig Göransson for some fucking reason.
Because he's apparently doing the score for the movie, I think.
Let me see.
Well, Trolls World Tour, the music is technically by some guy named Theodore Shapiro.
Oh, it just says film composer, not this film. Probably should have clarified that, Stereo Gum, otherwise stupid people like me might think otherwise. Just saying.
Look, it's wishful thinking. Don't we clearly want people who do quality music instead of this, like, half-ass nothing? I mean, okay, so the song itself, it's got a decent enough, I guess, dance groove to the instrumental. SZA sounds pretty great on it, but, I mean, you know, Justin Timberlake is just... there, forgettable, kind of what's the point. You know, kind of like that whole Man of the Woods album cycle, now that I think about it.
Pretty much.
It just kind of sounds like a C-tier Jamiroquai tune to me. Just usual soundtrack filler shit.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, it got some glue to it, but I feel dirty listening to this. I mean, some of this, the other people that I like is going to be on this soundtrack. I mean, who else is on this soundtrack that I should know about?
I don't know. If we mention it, I feel like we're probably going to send Mark to an aneurysm or something. So, let's just not do that.
Oh, God.
Oh, I should be afraid, should I?
I'm seeing some bad things. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. I will let you find out for yourself.
Are we on the page?
Welp.
Yeah.
You got... Oh. You doing this again, Ass Mason Pack? Wait. Punch Clinton. What the fuck? Wait, Rachel Blatt, you doing this shit again?
Let's move on. Let's move on before this gets any worse. Because as you can tell, at the moment, we are in an incredibly salty mood. So what better way to, you know, apply that salt than into music that is equally angry and salty? Now, I don't know if you all remember, but the Acacia Strain Shadow dropped an album near the tail end of December last year. And apparently there's still more music they got cooking in the salt mines. They just released a new 2-song single called D, which is apparently getting an actual 7-inch release sometime later on this year. And we have the 2 songs from that release that we could talk about here. The first being called Feed a Pigeon, Breed a Rat, and the second called Seeing God. Now, the first one, it starts off quiet, swells up after a minute or so into this kind of tremolo slash chugging guitar riff, complemented by equally, you know, pounding drums matching the rhythm, soon goes into this kind of creepy, doomy guitar lead melody, complemented by, you know, the slow breakdown chug of the rest of the band. Of course, fucking Vincent Bennett sounds appropriately nihilistic as he growls lyrics like, "While you all self-medicate, you live to contaminate. Our only option is to terminate before you continue to pollinate." And then, of course, there's the track Seeing God, which, again, kind of a similar game as before, although this one gets started right away with plenty of those pounding double kicks and a steady low end riff before segueing into heavy kind of hardcore D-beat rhythms with appropriate guitar switch-ups to match. The song's breakneck pace, delving into, again, another particularly slow, heavy breakdown, complemented by lyrics like, "We fear the dark, but it's the light that exposes the true horrors of this world. Catch your breath, clutch your chest, catch your breath, drop fucking dead." Now, is it a bit simplistic and one-dimensional? Perhaps. Does it feed into anger and bitterness in a very superficial way? Perhaps. Am I an easy mark for this kind of shit? Perhaps.
Okay. I'm not so easy, because all I can say about these two tracks are, low, growly vocals with chugging A-string chord riffs and fast drum grooves. It's definitely more the Acacia Strain. Not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but it's definitely more Acacia Strain to me.
Alright, now time to move on to our next song here, something that's definitely the exact opposite of a conventional and one-dimensional. So, as previously mentioned, the experimental metal artist Igor is releasing his newest album, Spirituality and Distortion, due out March 27th. We now have the second single from the album, Parpang, which is apparently a foreign word for cinderblock. So, appropriate then that this song has a guest vocalist whose voice sounds like concrete hitting the pavement. We are, of course, talking about none other than Corpse Grinder from Cannibal Corpse. Appropriate then still that the song itself sounds like Cannibal Corpse filtered through Igor's own really weird bullshit. Right from the start, with its pounding heavy drum work, with its massive grooves, you know, just driving and pounding the beat with those double kicks and hard-hitting blast beats, along with that particularly kind of beefy, chugging riff, it all sounds very Cannibal Corpse-ian, though minus maybe like the sort of whirlwind, hurricane, force of nature tone of a typical Cannibal Corpse album these days, making things a bit more crunchier and moving the saturated noisiness. Of course, the song itself works in some of those bizarre-ass electronic synth, you know, patterns, especially that break in the middle where, you know, especially in the video, it goes into this weird recreation of the game Rampage with fucking Corpse Grinder as the giant monsters. And of course, as always, you know, George himself sounds like a fucking beast on the vocals, but you could probably already figure that out. Yeah, this shit is doing it for me, man. This shit fucks.
Yeah, unlike those previous two songs, this is certainly something I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't expecting to hear chopped and processed Corpse Grinder screams, or that 8-bit bleep loop section, or a shift into Bit Crusher dubstep. I guess I can say that I like it, but I'm more fascinated with the aspect of the whole song production-wise than I am enjoying it personally, if that makes any kind of sense.
It's something to study, almost like an autopsy. Except there'll be no dead bodies here. Yet. No one checked the backyard. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. This past week's entry into the Adultsim Singles program, coming from an act called Miserable. The track is called Damn to Love You, and again, going into this blind, don't know shit about this artist, other than the impression I get from the song, which, I mean, it's kind of got like this indie synth-pop thing going on. The vocals are very low-key and moody in their performance, of course coated in tons of echo and reverb. The rest of the music is similarly vibey, low-key, and moody. The guitars are kind of buried in this very wispy atmosphere with this slow, repetitious bass groove and, you know, some synth work added over top it. It's okay, I'm sure for the crowd that eats this stuff up, it'll be completely their thing, but this just, kind of washes right off me, to be honest.
It's aight. That's all I gotta say. Like, I've listened to it. It sounds like, you know, any you know, synth pop stuff that I would be fine with, but it's like, it's fine. It's fine.
Anyway, time to move on to the next track here. Episode 2 of the current new Gorillaz series project, The Song Machine. This one is a track called Désolé, which features guest contributions from a vocalist named, and I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation horribly, Fatoumata Diawara. This track, Désolé, it's a pretty straightforward beat, all things considered. you know, simple drums with a lot of auxiliary accentuations here and there. Steady guitar work that's like minimal on the distortion. Kind of an occasional echo of the melody. In fact, this whole thing kind of sounds like very Plastic Beach era sort of Gorillaz. There's this very serene vibe to it that kind of matches with the imagery of the actual video itself, which heavily focuses on, you know, them riding out like a boat in the ocean and shit like that. Fatoumata's singing is very calming and soothing, which just kind of adds to like the, you know, peaceful ocean vibes and everything. And yeah, it's a decent enough song. I think I might still like the Slow Thai Slaves one better, but yeah, the song machine is turning out some interesting stuff. And if the next episode preview is anything to go by, I think we might finally be getting that Tame Impala collab soon.
Hopefully. But hopefully, yeah. This song, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like the song. It's also continuing just all together in English, in French, and in Bambara, which I guess I hope I said it right, because that's what it says to me. Bambara. Which, okay. Okay, that's an interesting fat toy about this song, but this song is, I say, to me, equal to the last Gorillaz song we got. Like, it's still, it is more calmer, it's more calmer with the vocals, but from both Arbor and Dyer, both trade up excellently, and yeah, it's another, you know, good vibey track, but more synthy, kind of more airy in a way, but yeah, this whole Sun Machine thing so far, it's been going good. But I do want to hear what that Tame Impala check gonna sound like with them.
Anyway, time to move on to the next track here, and look, it's an old friend of ours, Mr. Shabazz Palaces. Yeah, last we heard of them in proper studio album form was about 3 years ago with that two-part Quasars album project. And now it looks like they're gearing up to release a new project coming out April 17th called The Dawn of Diamond Dreams. And of course, to coincide with the album announcement, we have the lead-off single Fast Learner featuring guest vocals from some guy named Purple Tape Nate. And yeah, this sounds about what you would expect. There's this pretty big sounding drum rhythm to the beat that is mainly aided by the production, which gives it the booms and echoes in the right places, despite being kind of minimal as far as its composition. Some light guitar work to ride the rhythm alongside it. I get kind of this vague kind of like red bone vibe off the instrumental. And then, of course, don't ask me to dissect the bars, because I cannot ride the mental wavelength of any of this.
Yeah, if you come up to this, that these lyrics, yeah, don't bother, because even Genius says, fuck this, we ain't doing this, or they ain't got up yet. But this sounds like a mix between electro music, auto-tune drug rap, and basically, you bring that shit together, and it just sounds like you're in a fucking daze, just spaced out, and yes, Bass Houses does always give out that vibe, even though you don't know what the fuck they're saying. But yeah, this track is cool. Also, like the name of the album they got, The Dawn of Diamond Dreams. It sounds like a fucking JoJo, JoJo anime. The Dawn of Diamond Dreams.
Sounds like a stand. It should be a stand. Someone get this man on the phone with a Rocky stat. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. And, hey, Trivium. Hey. Yeah, that's it. I don't have a clever... I can't muster that level of enthusiasm for Trivium that most others can. So, yeah, we're getting a new project from them April 24th called What's the Dead Men Say? I assume nothing because, well, they're dead. Dead people really can't talk unless you're talking like fucking zombies and shit, in which case shouldn't we be running in the other direction? But, you know, before someone whips out the cameras and we get another mediocre Walking Dead spinoff. Anyway, so we have, coinciding with the album announcement, the lead-off single Catastrophist, and, you know, it sounds like more Trivium to me, I guess. It's got a decently meaty riff and drum rhythm that it opens with, you know, for the choruses and stuff. Those verses kind of have, like, these sections of, like, clean rhythms turning into heavy thrashier bits, some dual guitar interplay. There's a pretty cool drum bit in the second verse where it kind of sounds like it's, you know, playing off the sticking patterns between the hi-hat, rye, and snare at the same time. I kind of like that heavy bridge with, like, the triplet chugs, kick runs, the solos and stuff. But, like, I mean, look, the song is fine. It's serviceable. Look, I never got into Trivium. What do you want from me? They just don't do it for me.
Well, I liked this song a good amount. Probably more so for Alex Bent's great drum work, especially with that very frantic triplet bass drum fill, or groove, rather. Now we wait to find out if this won't be like their last album, where I liked only the first single and didn't like the rest of the album as much. That's kind of a weird thing I have with Trivium. I liked that first big song, rest of the album not as much. It's weird.
That's just how it be sometimes.
Also, the video made no sense. But at least it didn't give me a migraine.
Ah, yes. Our next song is one that I'm pretty sure Alex had to look away from the screen for watching because its video came with an epileptic seizure warning.
Yeah, which means I can't watch that kind of stuff. Otherwise, I'll, convulse in pain, like the 2019 Grammy Awards. Remember that?
Yeah. Bad times. Anyway, so it looks like, you know, the thrash gods are going to be blessing us with some good shit. So we also got the announcement that Warbringer is dropping their newest album in April. And, of course, following up, like, a week or so after that, we're getting the new Havoc album, V. Well, you know, 5, probably. But, yeah, May 1st, new Havoc album. We have the lead-off single here, Phantom Force. And, yeah, this does it a bit more for me. Really heavy, thrashing tremolo riffs with lots of fast-driving DB kicks, those screeching thrash vocals, that bass, especially because of the production, it hits hard as hell with those sharp punctuations of each note when it's, you know, playing off against the syncopations of the guitar chords and everything. There's this really sick, menacing groove, you know, especially, you know, coming after the guitar solo that's just like some real nice icing on the cake shit. This is just that fine, fine thrash that does it for me. And wait, who directed the video again? Let me check the credits. K. Hunter Lamar. K. Lamar, eh? Pretty sure there's no relation.
Maybe it's a sign that those rumors might be true. You never know. But, yeah, music is pretty dang solid revival thrash, hitting hard and fast, and sounding oh so heavy. So, you know, I like it. I like thrash metal. What I don't like is this.
Ah, yes. Reggaeton. One of the big modern stars of the reggaeton genre, J Balvin, is coming out with his newest album March 20th called Colores. And it's an album where the theme is that every song is named after a color. Sadly, there will probably not be any weird offbeat progressive metal runs or any Blake Richardson drums. I'm probably just going to re-listen to Colors again instead of this album, but you know, we have to talk about what's relevant. So yeah, we have the lead off single here, Rojo, and as is always the case with J Balvin, my only thought is, yeah, Spanish Post Malone. It's really all I have to say. Just reggaeton Post Malone, post reggaeton, if you will. Although sadly, I don't think he's gonna end up with a surprisingly solid guest verse on an Ozzy Osbourne album anytime soon. Yeah, this is just boring, man. And it's not even, like, meme-worthy, like Despacito. I don't want Rojo 2. I do want Despacito 37, though.
Yeah, don't we all? But, yeah, reggaeton, I'm just going to say it right now, this fad will be dead within 2 years. Because there's just no meat to it. You can only do the same idea so many times before you run out of ideas. Can I talk, please? Thankfully, some artists know how to reinvent themselves when the time is right.
Yes, this is very much true, as we have our final song here, and no doubt the biggest one that we're going to talk about this week. After a long, long 4 years since her last record and some stints in mainstream Hollywood film, Mother Monster is back. Yes, Lady Gaga has been teasing some things throughout the social medias and whatnot. Come to find out that, of course, we got her big comeback single after 4 years, a new track called Stupid Love, and, you know, coincidentally, literally the day we're recording this, we get the announcement that there is, in fact, a new album she's dropping, April 10th, called Chromatica. And, yeah, Stupid Love, This song, man, this song is that good pop shit that fucking slaps. Mainly because of those synths. That's really what's doing it for me in the whole of the song, because anybody who knows me knows I'm a sucker for, like, awesome 80s synth cheese. It's really, like, again, 80s in hell in a way that almost kind of evokes, like, the triumphant feel of something that would soundtrack a John Hughes movie over the end credits. With, of course, Lady Gaga belting out lyrics about, you know, wanting love and, you know, recovering from pain and heartbreak and everything. This is that solid, reliable pop shit that I wish there were more people doing in the mainstream, you know, kind of to counteract the somber mood of everything else.
Yeah, to me this feels like what Lady Gaga would sound like in between Born This Way and art pop. You have a little bit of the super, quote-unquote, synthetic pop elements, along with some wacky electronic experimentation. Makes for a good hybrid. But Billy Joe isn't going to be too happy with her going to a Swedish producer in Max Martin, which is the first time those two have ever worked together, if you can believe it. It's been this long, and this is the first time it's ever happened.
Ah.
Yeah, and this song is, in fact, pop as balls in great ways. It's catchy with a great groove. Max Martin and Bled Pop and Shami, you've done it again. Now, please stop working with Justin Timberlake. It's not working. I'm serious, Max. It's over. And for while you're at it, find something new with Taylor Swift, because that's not working very well either.
All I can say is, like, yeah, like, this is definitely, this, yeah, this is definitely recognizable from, like, before her Lady Gaga, like, way back in her, back when we first known her. And, yeah, this is definitely something that I recognize Gaga from, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Now that we have all that good song discussion out of the way, all we really have to take care of now is the new album releases for the weekend of March 6th, 2020. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from metal act Body Count with Carnivore. We have the newest album from doom metalers My Dying Bride with The Ghost of Orion. A new project from post-hardcore act Silverstein with The Beautiful Place to Drown. A new album from parentheses Nobody Cares and parentheses Moby with All Visible Objects. We have the newest album from Phantogram with Ceremony. The crown prince of horrible album covers, Swamp Dog with Sorry You Couldn't Make It. And Noel Gallagher's continued bullshit existence, fuck you, with Blue Moon Rising.
Why must you continue to torture us with this crap? Because
unfortunately, some dick in a suit keeps handing him cash advances, I think.
Probably something else, too. Hint.
Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I will continue to pump out all the other work I do, which, validate my pain and suffering, please. Do that. Do it!
Validation is important. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
On Twitter, Max Habit Media, where I don't really do much shit, but I just beat it time to time. And on my site, RonHabit.wordpress.com, where I just post. You'll find out when I post shit out there too. I've been busy.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. All the only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the weekend, so subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell tab so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for this podcast, Podcast M&A, and written articles as well. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you wish to rub it in our faces that you were able to find Dr. Pepper Cream Soda. We sure you will. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use this music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, we'll see you all again next week. Thank you for tuning in for the usual nonsense. So, until next time, I need freaking donuts right now, man.
I'm going to sleep with your bed.
Oh, no, you don't.
Get the water spray. Oh.